You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Tampa Bay Rays. And this is a very special MLB.com Extras because we have stopped worrying about Adam Berry's arbitration clock, and we have called him up to the podcast, to the show. So MLB.com reporter Adam Berry, based in the Tampa-St. Petersburg area. What is there for this Rays team, which at this point even the most dedicated apologists have to acknowledge it probably not happening for them this year? What is there left for them to accomplish over these last 3 weeks of the 2014 regular season?
Yeah, I think that's a good point that even the most hardcore apologist has probably given up on this one. That was pretty obvious when Joe Maddon said they had to go 0-7 Rockies on the rest of the season to have a chance, which it's not really going to happen. But, I mean, there's still plenty left to play for. First and foremost, I think they would like to have a seventh straight winning season, which as of Thursday they would have to go 15-7 to do. I mean, that's obviously they've been one of the best teams in baseball for so long, sort of against long odds. That is obviously a high priority for them, and it's something to go out on a positive note and look back and say, all right, this was a team that was 18 games under 500, and they still managed to pull out a winning season, which would actually, they would be the first team to ever do that. So they are still playing for a weird little bit of history the rest of the way on a team level. And then, I mean, individually, there's a lot to play for. Evan Longoria has not had a year up to his standards. He would obviously like to establish some confidence heading into next spring. Same goes for guys like Will Myers, Grant Balfour, maybe even Joel Peralta, who got off to a pretty rough start this year. And then I think they would like to see some of their young starters, especially guys like Chris Archer, Jake Odorizzi, finish their first, you know, full season on a strong note, show that they are capable of pitching into September just physically, so that next year they can pitch into September on a higher level.
Is that within the clubhouse? I mean, obviously that's the kind of thing a manager is going to point to, is always going to want to have a goal. Within the clubhouse, is that winning record, is that really a target the guys are aiming for? Is that something they really want, or is that something that a manager says to in hopes that his players sort of stay tuned in over the final weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think that's probably more on a managerial and organizational level for the players. I mean, obviously you want to win games, so that's obviously the goal going into every single day. But, I mean, yeah, it's not like they're looking at that and saying, no, you know, we got to go 15-7 to get above 500 so we can say this, that we were the only team to be 18 games under 500 and come back and finish the season with a winning record. No, they're not talking about that on a daily basis, obviously. But I think that is something that would be valuable to them, just to say that they did manage to pull that out.
It's been such a baffling team in a lot of ways. I mean, I was one of the people. I think I picked them to win the American League, never mind the division. And it is hard to figure. Given that, how does the front office look at this? Do they just look at this as baseball is weird and this happened and you kind of go at it again next year? Or is there going to be some kind of mandate to really address some things and make some changes to the roster for 2015?
No, honestly, I would say that it is sort of a baseball is weird situation. I think just talking to some people in the front office, you know, everybody runs simulations and things like that for how the season will play out, you know, 100,000 different ways or whatever. And this was basically like less than 1% chance of this happening, especially what happened at the beginning of the year in the first half. So to a certain extent, you just kind of roll it up and say, well, there's no way that can happen again. You know, there's no way James Loney can be what he was in the first half again next year, that Evan Longoria is not going to be Evan Longoria, that Matt Moore, Alex Cobb, all these guys are going to get hurt in this significant time at the beginning of the year. And the other thing is that they came into this season planning for, with like a multi-year plan. This was a multi-year core, and that's evidenced by the fact that they don't have a free agent after this season. They don't have a single free agent heading into the offseason, which is crazy. And it just goes to show that they will go into next year basically with the same team that they hope to have this season, just hoping for better results.
It seems pretty clear that there's no variable more essential, either if they want to get hot here or if they want to be the team they expect to be next year, than Evan Longoria. What, I mean, I've asked Bill about this, and it's just baffling. What is going on with him? Why hitters hit? Why isn't he hitting?
Honestly, that's become my white whale, trying to figure that out, because Evan Longoria has been so consistent in doing what he does, which is hitting and playing good third base defense. And the one thing that I keep coming back to is that he put so much pressure on himself from day one. He reported the spring training talking about how the Rays were going to eat last, you know, how they were going to make it all the way to the end of the season, no gimmicks, no nothing. They were just going to play well and try to make it to the World Series this year. And he talked at the same time about, like, the burden of leadership and, you know, the burden of being the, you know, the franchise player or whatever. And I think when they got off to a poor start as a team, because he actually got off to a decent start individually, I think he took a lot of that on himself. And statistically, the one thing that's off with him this season, just in terms of the process, is that he's swinging about, I think it's 6% more than he has in years past, which to me would suggest a player who is trying to make too much happen at the plate. And he's swinging a lot more at the first pitch. And another sort of interesting number that he's got going on is that he's been just about his normal career self with guys on base, but when the bases are empty, he's been a disaster this year, which would also suggest that maybe he's trying to make too much happen when it's just at the plate, when, you know, he's trying to hit that five-run homer when there's nobody on base. I think that all the numbers sort of line up with the narrative in this case, which is rare that that happens. But I think Longoria has taken the season personally, and that's kind of affected him at the plate this year.
Does that match the eye test to you? Do those numbers look like what you see when you watch him take at-bats?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many swings at pitches that, you know, he normally would just let go, and there's a lot of bad swings at pitches that normally he just crushes, especially on the inside part of the plate. And he's looked a little bit more like himself over the past maybe week, 10 days or so, which, again, if you want to talk about the narrative, the pressure is off this team at this point, so maybe he's sort of settling back down. And he's driven in a lot of runs since the All-Star break. That was when he came out and he said, you know, I'm going to stop trying to worry about the pressure and all that and just do what I can to help the team, you know, move a runner over, drive in a run, sack fly, stuff like that. And he has done that from a pure run production standpoint, as in driving in runs since the All-Star break. So I think the first half of the season was just brutal for him in terms of the pressure that he put on himself. And also, I was thinking about this the other day, this has been probably the hardest season for him of his short career in basically every way. I mean, the team, this is the first really bad Rays team that he's been on. This is, you know, he lost, the Rays as a whole lost Don Zimmer, his passing earlier in the season. Evan Longoria was really close to Zim. He lost longtime teammate and very close friend David Price. He struggled personally. This just been a rough, weird year for Evan Longoria overall.
It sounds like your expectations, the organization's expectation as well, that given a winter, a breather, a fresh start, is the organization's expectation that this guy is going to be the guy they're used to seeing when next year starts?
Yeah, I would think so. At the beginning of the year, there were also some talks maybe mechanical things were off, and they said they would have been more worried if, you know, if it wasn't mechanical, if it was physical, you know, if he was masking an injury or something like that, because you can fix mechanics, you know, especially over an off season or spring training, or those things just sort of can naturally fix themselves over time. So I think next year he'll be more like himself, whether or not he's 2013, 2011, whatever, Evan Longoria, I don't know, but I cannot imagine another year like this from him.
The other thing it seems that will have to be the case if they are to be back on top next year is the thing they've sort of always been built about around is the rotation. I think some people thought, and I'm as big a Drew Smyly honk as anybody. I really liked him in Detroit. I really liked the acquisition, but I think he's been even better than Drew Smyly honks anticipated. Is this a real level? Is this a hot streak? What do you think Drew Smyly is going forward? Is this guy a number two starter going forward?
It's a possibility, honestly. I mean, I don't. He's obviously not going to pitch to a sub two ERA over a long period of time. So this is just a really incredible run he's on right now. But there are some things that he's done that he didn't necessarily do in Detroit that have maybe made him a little bit more effective. And I also think he's just a smart pitcher, and he's got a lot of weapons, a lot of things that he can do. And the Rays are pretty good as an organization, and especially with pitching coach Jim Hickey, in terms of bringing out those weapons, things that maybe they did not use as well, even though they had them into previous stops. Like, he's throwing his cutter a lot more to right-handed hitters, and he's been a lot more effective against right-handed hitters, which were basically his kryptonite during his time in Detroit, which is because he was attacking them basically only his changeup, which is not what you would call a great pitch. But if the cutter's working, he'll go to that. If the changeup, it just so happens to be a good day for that, he'll go to that. And when you have two or so weapons that you can use against those right-handed hitters, and they don't necessarily know which one's coming, he's going to be a lot more effective, and he has been so far.
All right. Well, Adam Berry, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.